I will pray for us as we begin. Lord God, we thank you for the miracle of communication that enables us to meet together in this way. But we thank you so much more for the miracle of the resurrection. And Lord, we pray that we would be those who live in this Easter hope. And we pray that you would speak to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. There are a lot of superlatives around at this time, aren't there? But I think we can say that this is definitely a remarkable and unusual Easter. We've now had the news that the Prime Minister is out of hospital on this day of all days. And indeed, the Queen reminded us that Easter isn't cancelled. Indeed, she said, we need Easter as much as ever. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose. And we can all take heart from this. I think we can also perhaps take heart that these words of hope and truth are still being spoken by our head of state. And then even this morning, the Archbishop of Canterbury reminding us on the live stream of Psalm 107. He said it was his favourite psalm, beginning, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And today we are celebrating the resurrection. We are celebrating God's decisive intervention in history. And some people have been saying, you know, is coronavirus a kind of massive reset button for society as we're forced to consider our consumption, our attitude to international travel, whatever it might be. But of course, actually, God pressed the reset button far more decisively 2,000 years ago with the resurrection of Christ. And I hope that this evening we're not wanting in any way to demean or sideline the reality of what we're all facing at this time, but at the same time to see that in the light and in the hope of the resurrection. And Charlie shared his Easter card just then. I wanted to illustrate my points with a kind of homage to Charlie's show and tell approach. So today we are thinking about the hope of the resurrection, the joy of the resurrection, and finally, the power of the resurrection. I know Charlie prefers kind of Renaissance masterpieces where you've just got a slightly dodgy clip art from me, but anyway. But what is it for us to live as people of the resurrection? People for whom the kingdom has broken in decisively and irreversibly. What does that mean? Well, another way of thinking of these three things I'd like to suggest is in relation to our head, our heart, not sure if you can see my heart, and our hands. What is it not just to believe this stuff with our minds, or even just to know and feel it in our hearts, but also to kind of live out this resurrection reality with our hands, our feet, with the whole way that we live our lives. I considered the possibility of trying to rework heads, shoulders, knees and toes for this purpose, but decided against. I happen to see Jamie Thompson on my screen at this point, so I know he's relieved at the very least. But what is this hope we have? And frankly, do we believe it? And that's not to say that, of course, we won't have moments of doubt or moments of intense searching in the Christian life. But the resurrection commemorated today really is the absolute, as Justin Welby was saying this morning, it really is the absolute foundation on which the rest of Christian faith is built. I want to draw our attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. At this time when, as Abby Stewart was saying, so many people are open to these questions of faith, we read, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Perhaps, like me, you've been moved by those extraordinary pictures of that new mass grave in New York for people so poor that they can't have a proper burial. And of course, the Christian belief is that those buried in a pauper's grave can be received like royalty in heaven. And that joy, that hope is open to anyone, and whatever status or prestige we might think we've had here on earth, actually the resurrection is a great equalizer in that sense, because we all are given over into this hope. But I really encourage you, first of all, therefore, to believe this hope on Easter Sunday. Renew your belief in this hope. Recognize this as the foundation upon which the Christian life is built. And then secondly, joy. I was so pleased that Mark spoke into this on the live stream this morning. And as you know, we've been tracking through John's Gospel and Jesus's farewell discourse in recent weeks. And in John chapter 16, Jesus says to the disciples, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." And I think that is such a precious reality, not just for those first disciples, but in the Christian life for us today. Of course, we will grieve. And as we experience friends of friends or family, and almost inevitably, of course, for some of us, those close and dear to us dying untimely deaths at this time because of coronavirus, of course, we will grieve. But the promise of Easter is that that grief is not a full stop. It is a grief that can turn to joy, and not a kind of synthetic, forced, "I'm a Christian, so I know I should be joyful, so I'm going to be joyful" kind of joy, but a real, genuine joy that we receive from God. A few years ago, a previously unknown letter from C.S. Lewis was discovered in a book in a secondhand bookshop. Now, C.S. Lewis famously wrote Surprised by Joy, a great book on this subject. But there was a great line or two in this letter that apparently had previously been undiscovered, where he said, "Real joy seems to me almost as unlike security or prosperity as it is unlike agony." And then he goes on, and certainly my picture of C.S. Lewis is of quite a sort of dour person quite a lot of the time. But of joy, he says, "It jumps under one's ribs and tickles down one's back and make one's forget meals and keeps one delightedly sleepless at night. My private table is 1 second of joy is worth 12 hours of pleasure." 1 second of joy is worth 12 hours of pleasure. And of course, the point he is making is that joy is a gift that comes from God and a gift that we can receive. We can seek pleasure and find pleasure. And if we're fortunate enough to have, you know, money to spend on pleasure, then were we not living in a coronavirus lockdown, you know, we could do all sorts of pleasurable things. And, you know, even if we have money now, I suppose we could have fine wine delivered to our homes or something. But for C.S. Lewis, 1 second of joy worth 12 hours of pleasure. And of course, earlier in John's Gospel, we're reminded that rivers of living water flow from within those who know the Lord Jesus. We know that the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. So if we are seeking on Easter Day to say yes to God and seeking to invite him into the fullness of our life, then one of the glorious things that happens as a result of that is that we find joy. We still grieve, of course we do, but we also find a joy that comes from God alone. So we've had the hope of the head, the hope of believing this stuff with our brains. but also the resurrection hope of joy filling our hearts. But as Simon Ponsonby might say, there is more to knowing it in our heads and feeling it in our hearts. The question is, are we going to live this out? Are we going to be recognisable as those who bear this resurrection hope in our daily lives? And I was reminded of an old prayer that choristers say before they go into evensong or whatever it might be, the chorister's prayer, which includes the lines, "Grant that what we sing with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives." And of course, the point is that this is not about just doing something in our own strength, but rather allowing God to lead us and direct us, and know that any power that we have comes from him and not from our own best efforts. So, power. Last night I watched a newly released YouTube documentary from the Vineyard Movement, featuring interviews with three of the people who were at the heart of the beginnings of the now international church movement called the Vineyard, including the wife, Carol, of the late John Wimber, who was the founder. And there was some amazing archive footage as well of John Wimber, which reminded me of one of the key questions he said to have asked as his faith kind of came alive, which was very simply, when do we get to do the stuff? When do we get to do the stuff? It was this wonderfully simple, and you might even say almost kind of naive question. You know, he'd read his Bible, he was praying his prayers, but when did he get to stand in the line of the apostles, as it were, and the disciples, and continue this work of the kingdom? And I really want to say to us that on this Easter Sunday, the power of God that raises Jesus from the dead is the same power at work in the church through, God willing, you and me. And that is a kind of awesome, extraordinary thought, but it is really at the very heart of the Christian faith, as I believe we should be living it. And John Wimber reminded people that you just need to think about the extraordinary spread of the gospel from this pretty unlikely group of people in the weeks and months and years after the death of Jesus. And Wimber writes, "The key to their advancing the kingdom of God was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. When the Spirit came on them, the disciples received God's power. Now they were able to do works of power and to preach with power." And at the end of Ephesians chapter 1, St. Paul writes in a remarkable way about this power for us who believe, because he points out that this power for us who believe, he writes, "God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead." So within the Bible, there is this clear association between the power at work in the life of the church and the same very power that we recognise in the resurrection on Easter Day. So what do you know of that resurrection power? Of course, there is plenty that we can't do in church at the moment. We can't receive communion as we ordinarily would. We can't baptise people. We can't even share a hug or a handshake at the peace. But this power of the Holy Spirit, I absolutely believe, is not constrained in this time of the coronavirus. And as some of you know, I speak as someone who was filled with the Spirit in a new way and began speaking in tongues for the first time, sitting on my own in a hotel room, reading Church of England Evening Prayer off my laptop screen. So I know about the ability of God to kind of break in at a totally unexpected time and without any of the joy of being together in fellowship, which of course we will relish once we are back together whenever that happens. But this power is so precious. And we can see it in dramatic ways when God breaks into our lives. Sorry, I almost did a kind of touch the screen, feel the power moment then. Sorry, that was unintentional. But when God breaks into our lives, sometimes we feel this with great, shaking of ourselves or even literally our bodies. But then I've also loved hearing in recent days of the ways in which, just as Abby Stewart was saying, the Christian who walks into the John Radcliffe or down their street, confident of the power of the Holy Spirit at work within them, amazing, beautiful coincidences can follow. I've heard of two people where there have been deaths in their family, but they prayed and against all the odds, they were able to be at someone's bedside in the hours before their death in a way that we know is largely not possible at this time. These are small demonstrations, but I believe really powerful and important ones of the difference that this kind of prayer makes. So tonight, I pray that all of us will know the hope of the resurrection as historical reality, as we've read in John's gospel, but that we will also know the joy of the resurrection in our hearts. And indeed, scandalous as it may seem to our society, that may we may see and live out the power, kapow, of the resurrection in the way that we live our lives, serving those in need, heralding the kingdom, and shining with the light that the darkness cannot and does not overcome. Amen.